Let's turn this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter 9. We'll read the first 11 verses. John 9, 1 through 11, and we'll focus our attention on verses 4 and 5. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said he unto them, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. That's our scripture reading this morning. Now verses 4 and 5, where Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. That's our text. Jesus was in Jerusalem. He was departing from the temple complex. And he saw a man begging by the side of the road, a man who had been born blind. This man obviously was well known to the citizens of Jerusalem and also then to the disciples. Jesus' disciples asked, Who sinned that this man was born blind? Did his parents sin? Or is this the result of his own sin? It was commonly believed that anything like blindness or paralysis or leprosy or some other malady was God's special punishment upon someone's sin. Jesus instructed the disciples that this man's blindness was not the result of anybody's sin, but this man was born blind so that the works of God may be revealed in him. And in the verses we consider this morning, Jesus continued to talk about those works of God. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me, and I must do it while it's yet day. The night comes when no one can work. And then he went on to explain, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, if we look at those verses and analyze them, two things become apparent. First of all, we understand what the works of God are that Jesus has been sent to do. And that is to be the light of the world. Secondly, we understand what Jesus meant when he said, I must do these works while it is yet day. Because the very next phrase he says, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So that means that Jesus must work while it is day, that is, as long as he is in the world. And the work that he must do, that God has sent him is to be the light of the world. And then to demonstrate very graphically that reality, Jesus miraculously gave sight to this blind man. He spit on the ground, made clay of the spit, rubbed them on the blind man's eye and said, "Go to the pool of Siloam and wash." And as soon as the man washed away the mud, he miraculously received his sight, demonstrating that Jesus is the light of the world. We consider this passage as we begin the year of our Lord 2011. Interestingly, this passage speaks only of the work that Jesus does as the light of the world. Implied here, as we'll point out this morning, is the fact that as the light of the world, Jesus has also made us to be light. In fact, he has made us to be under him and in him the light of the world through which he shines. And therefore, we have a work to do, which is God's work. We must, in Jesus Christ, be light, that our light shine, that others may be enlightened through us. That's important that we see that as we begin a new year. And there's a sense of urgency here. We must work while it is yet day. The night comes when no man can work. That applied to Jesus, that applies to us as well. I call your attention to laboring while it is yet day. We notice two things. First of all, what this meant for Jesus. And secondly, what this means for us. Very simple. Jesus speaks of working the works of him that sent him. Now, the one that sent Jesus is the triune God. The triune God has works that he will accomplish in history. Jesus, notice, speaks of the works of him that sent me. And God has determined to accomplish these works through Jesus. Jesus is the eternal Son of God, and so the triune God sent his eternal Son into our flesh through the virgin birth to accomplish these works. What are these works of God that Jesus has been sent to accomplish? And the answer is the works of salvation. If you look at the events of history, and of course, we only see a very, very small slice of it today through the news and in our own lives and circles. But if you take all the activities of history, we understand that these are under the sovereign control of God, determined by him from eternity. And all these great things are really the works of God. And there stands at the center and heart of all these works one great, almighty work, one glorious work, and that is to save unto himself an elect church with whom he will live eternally in bliss and glory to his pleasure, to his honor, and to his glory. And everything that is accomplished in history by the hand of God is designed to serve the accomplishment of that great work. Jesus Christ was sent by the Father to do that work on his behalf. Now, according to the passage before us, Jesus accomplished this work by being the light of the world. Let's look at that. And let's begin in the original creation. How light the world was as originally created by God. God made himself known to man in the garden. First of all, he made himself known to Adam and Eve through the creation. The creation revealed God. And then God came in some visible form in the cool of the evening and communicated with Adam and Eve. There was the light of God's revelation. And Adam and Eve saw the light of God because God had given them natural light, given them the ability to apprehend the revelation of God in nature and to apprehend the revelation of God as he appeared in some visible form. The animals didn't have that light. The plants didn't, but Adam and Eve did. And because they were made in the image of light, in the image of God, they had spiritual light whereby they embraced what they saw of God. They loved what they saw of God and they served him in love and obedience and faithfulness until the fall. And through the fall, Adam and Eve and the human race and the whole world was plunged into the darkness of sin and death. As a result of the fall, God gave man over to the power of sin, which leads to death. And man who was light became spiritual darkness. And even though the fallen man retains some natural light, whereby he is able in some way to observe and to see the revelation of God, even in nature, all that fallen man could hear and see from the revelation of God in nature was the wrath of God against his sin. There was no word to him in nature about salvation. And so man was in darkness, hopelessly lost, under the judgment of God, expelled from the garden. But Jesus is the light of the world, been sent as the light of the world to bring the light of salvation to those in darkness. How does he do that? First of all, he is light in that he makes known the way of salvation. He instructs fallen man concerning the way out of sin and death and hell. And of course, he himself is the way of salvation. When he instructs man concerning salvation, he doesn't teach man how to lift themselves up from their bootstraps to get to God. He doesn't point them to some animal or some other mystical way to God. He himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto me. No man comes unto the Father but by me. John 14, verse 6. He makes known the way of salvation as the light of the world. And he is light also in that he gives spiritual eyes to the elect so that they can see this light and embrace it. Fallen man is spiritually blind. You can place a fallen man before the light of God's revelation. He can understand it intellectually, but if he doesn't have eyes to see spiritually, it's nonsense to him. It's foolishness. He will reject it. He will continue in the way of darkness. Jesus is the light of the world in that he enlightens the hearts and the eyes of the elect, so that they see the revelation of God. They see his salvation. They embrace it unto the salvation of their own souls. And Jesus demonstrated that he is the light of the world in this way by the miracle of healing the blind man. Now Jesus indicated that he must do this work while it is yet day. The night comes, he said, when no man can work. Now Jesus sets forth here a universal principle. When is the time to work? It's the time of daylight. When night comes, no one can work. Now, what was true in Bible times is not so true today, is it? If you go out as a farmer years ago, you better work before the sun went down, because when it's dark, you're not going to work your fields. Today, with headlights on the tractor, that's different. Years ago, before artificial lighting, you wanted to work in the shop. You better work before the sun comes down, because when it got dark, you couldn't work anymore. Now with artificial lighting, that's different. So Jesus is talking in his context. When it gets dark, you can't work anymore. The time to work is when it's daylight. And Jesus applies that to himself and to his work as the light of the world. He says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Literally, it's necessary for me to work the works of him that sent me. And it's necessary for me to do that while it is yet day. What Jesus is saying here is that there were certain things Jesus must do while still on the earth to be the effective light of the world. What must he do? He must, through preaching and doing miracles, enlighten the people's understanding. You know, the prophets before this had brought the gospel of salvation to the people of God. The Old Testament records their great work and their prophecies. And that really was the work of Jesus himself as the eternal Son of God. But there was much that still had to be made known. The Old Testament prophets dealt with shadows. Just imagine, instead of being able to see a beautiful image or statue with all of its brilliant colors, all you can see is the shadow that the sun casts of that image. That's what the Old Testament prophets were able to bring, just shadows. There was still much to be revealed, and Jesus did that during his public ministry through preaching, telling and showing the people things they never really understood before, but only grasped dimly. And he also demonstrated that with miracles. That the Pentecostals, the charismatics, have it all wrong with their miracles today to draw attention to man. Promises of miracles that will simply make our life here pleasant. We'll heal you. We'll make you strong. No, the miracles of Jesus' ministry were to be visible demonstrations of the work of salvation to be accomplished in Jesus Christ. But through his preaching and teaching and miracles, he enlightened the people as they never had been enlightened before. But he must do one more thing while on the earth. He mustn't just tell them about the way of salvation. He is the way of salvation, so he must, while he is on the earth, secure the salvation of God's people. And he must do that by taking upon himself the punishment of their sin in their place and bearing it all away and walking for them in perfect obedience. He did that all of his life long, but especially at the cross. But soon, he would be taken out of this life into the nighttime of death. Then he could no longer work this way as the light of the world. His public ministry was only 3.5 years, very short. At this point in his ministry, there was about 6 months left of his life. 6 months left to teach, to preach, to enlighten the people, and to secure their salvation. In keeping with that, we find that Jesus busied himself every day, from early morning to late at night, in this work that the Father had given him to do as the light of the world. There was a sense of urgency. The time was short. Soon the night would come when no man can work. What does this mean for us? Well, Jesus has left. For him, the night has come. And he has left us to be the light of the world. You see, the work of Jesus to bring salvation to the elect church was not completed during his short life on earth. Yes, it's true. The last word he said was, "It is finished." I finished my work, but not all of his work. Just the work here on earth was finished. He must continue on the basis of his finished work on the earth to work the salvation of God. He obtained our salvation while on the earth. Now, in glory, as the risen, exalted Lord, he must from generation to generation bestow the blessings of salvation on the church. And he does that by enlightening God's people as the great light of God. Jesus said here to his disciples, "I am the light of the world. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." He didn't mean there that when I leave this world, I'll no longer be light, and I'll no longer enlighten people. What he meant there, as long as I am in the world, you will see me directly as the light of the world, and I will work directly in my flesh here among you as the light of the world. But we know from other scriptures that he continues after this life in glory to be the great light of God. And we see his light now not directly, but indirectly. How does he act as the light of God in glory? First of all, he completes the light of revelation. As the Son of God, he served as the light of God by raising up the prophets in the Old Testament, revealing the way of salvation. Then in his public ministry, he came among us and we saw him directly as the light of God. But now in heaven, he continues and he, through the apostles, finished the revelation of God. And it's all here in Scripture, infallibly recorded by divine inspiration. And not only that, but Jesus Christ, as the great light of God, at God's right hand, sees to it that this full revelation of God's salvation is proclaimed through all the earth, to all nations. And he serves as the great light of God by applying that revelation to the hearts and lives of God's elect people. So that from every age and every generation, from all walks of life, from every tribe, tongue, and nation, there are people who are enlightened. And they see the revelation of God. They have eyes to see and they embrace it. And they come to the knowledge of salvation in Jesus Christ. They've been enlightened. And we have too. So that we now become the light of the world in Christ. As Jesus Christ has brought the light of the gospel to us and uses it to enlighten our hearts spiritually, we turn to him and our children have turned to him and found his salvation and we have become light. We are by nature darkness. But now are we light? Ephesians 5 verse 8 says, "For we sometimes or one time were darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord." 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 5. "Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness." And Jesus took this one step further and not only called us in the Sermon on the Mount light, he said, you are the light of the world. Genesis, Matthew 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. And what Jesus meant there is this, that being made children of light, you, God's people, are now the great light in the world through whom Jesus Christ will bring light to others. And as our light shines, we merely reflect His light that He has given to us. And then Jesus said, Matthew 5, verse 16, you are the light of the world, let your light shine. You are light. I've set you here to enlighten the world. Now let your light shine. This includes the work of the church to preach the gospel. Here from this pulpit, in this community, and wherever God gives us an open door, then we serve as the light of the world, enlightening others about the way of salvation. This includes our work individually as we instruct our children in the light of God's revelation, as we encourage one another with the light of God's revelation in the communion of saints, as we share and show the light of God's revelation to our fellow worker in the workplace or our neighbor, as we have opportunity. And we let our light shine not just by what we say. Light doesn't shine very brightly if it's just a matter of our speech. It's also a matter of how we live. Our light shines as the light of the world when we do good works. That was the emphasis of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. When you live in good works and your life is full of works of light, then you are effectively letting your light shine as the light of the world. And that work, God blesses, Christ uses to enlighten others around us, our children, our grandchildren, the elect, in the community, and throughout the world. But we must work while it is yet day. The night comes when no man here can work. For each of us here this morning, it is still day. Remember, the day and the night here refer to the day of our life and the night that descends when we die. It is only during the day of our life that we can let our light shine here on earth as the light of the world. When the night of our death comes, we will enter into the eternal day of heaven to shine as light forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. But we will no more be able to shine here on the earth, just in heaven. And so it's important that we busy ourselves in the work of being the light of the world while it is yet day. How much time do you have yet in the day of your life? Seminary Matani drew our attention to that very pointedly last night, didn't he? Count your days. Count your days. How many days do you have left in the day of your life? Jesus knew how many he had. He knew in detail the plan that God had for his life. And he had 6 months left. We do not know. All perhaps in a general way, as was pointed out last night from Psalm 90, God ordinarily gives us 70 years if we're strong, 80 years. Some may reach into the 90s. We've had some in this congregation during my ministry who reached 100. Very unusual. But that's all we can expect. But the day of our life may come to an abrupt, from our point of view, a premature end. No one knows exactly when the night of death will descend upon him. And so we must busy ourselves working the work of God in Christ while it is yet day. People of God, let's not waste our time, waste our energy with the works of darkness. Let's not waste our time indulging ourselves in the pleasures of sin, following the course of this world that still remains in darkness. We are not darkness. We've been made light in the Lord. Let's busy ourselves every day as we have opportunity, as the light of the world, letting our light shine. Looking for opportunity to bring the light of the gospel to those around us, beginning in our own families and church. And let us serve as the light of the world by living as light, doing the works of light, ordering our life according to the law of God's love and liberty in Jesus Christ. Let's do that today. Let's do that this new year. Let's do that every day of our present life with a sense of urgency that Jesus had. I must work the works of him that sent me. I must do that while it is yet day. The night comes when no man can do this work. Amen. Dear God and Father, we are thankful for the words that thou hast given to us, for the faithfulness of Jesus Christ as the great light of the world, for his work of grace in us. Lead us, O God, to reflect that now in this year and every day of our life, doing the great work that thou hast set for us in Christ while it is yet day. Amen.